560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta. A very cold Atlanta.
It is freezing.
And beyond Atlanta, because we're on the app. You can listen to us everywhere.
Somewhere where it's 70 degrees right now.
Or maybe even 80.
Yeah. Don't tease me right now.
Or 10 below. Who knows?
Yes. I almost clocked in remotely from my bed under my comforter in my Snuggie. I was...
Snuggie. Oh,
when
gosh.
I looked and saw 28 degrees outside... Oh, my gosh. That is every Southerner's kryptonite, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I grew up in Michigan, though, so...
Okay.
Summer is just 3 months of bad skiing there.
Wow. Well, I know that it may be cold, but Allison has a little secret to warm our hearts. That's prayer. Allison, can you tee us off in a prayer?
I sure do. And I found a beautiful prayer that's going to guide us through the Advent season, a time of hopeful anticipation for the birth of Christ. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we begin the season of Advent, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Help us to prepare our hearts for his coming and open our minds to the peace, hope, joy, and love that he brings to our lives. May we reflect on his message of love and compassion and share that love with others, especially those in need. Guide us in our journey of waiting so that we may grow closer to you and be ready to welcome Christ into our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Yeah, that's a really great prayer, and it reminds me of what Father Mark was, you know, chatting with us about recently, which our wonderful family is going to get to hear soon. It's about, are we in a disposition of receptivity to Christ this Advent?
Absolutely.
And are there things that are impeding that receptivity? You know, are there certain things in my life that...
You're using all these big words.
He always does, but it's so beautiful, Josh.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to keep up with my good friend Marcus Peters.
Yes. He's smarter than you.
He is smarter than me. Dr. Marcus Peters. Actually, it's not an S. It's
no.
Singular, not Peter.
But it's true, Josh.
Yeah.
Being receptive of Christ, you know, at this time as we're waiting on him.
Yeah, and so what are those things, right? And it's easy to look at certain big picture things, I think, right? I mean, someone might have like a whopping addiction and it's like, okay, well, clearly that's the elephant in the room. But then when we look at, look at through like more of a finer tooth comb, there are these smaller things that are in some ways maybe harder to give up because perhaps they're not as, I don't know, I don't want to say debilitating, but they're just kind of par for the course, part of our routine.
Yes.
They're maybe little crutches.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are sometimes the harder things to examine.
Mm-hmm.
Patience with others.
I think back to Deacon Harold Burke Sivers' talk when we were in Birmingham, and he was talking about David, you know, taking down Goliath. And he said, every one of us has a Goliath in our life. And he said the weapon there is the rosary. A daily rosary is the weapon against your Goliath, whatever your Goliath is, whether it's an addiction, whether it's whatever it is.
I love that. That's good. You know what is so good about that, too? We were there. That was a man. That guy is like the most dynamic speaker.
Yeah.
He is.
In town. Isn't he good?
Moving.
You kind of put the load on God, right? It's like Peter, it says in, I think, 1 Peter, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And sometimes we think we've got to lift these heavy boulders by ourselves, but just the simplicity of saying, you know, I'm not exactly sure what to do here, but I can just sit in front of the tabernacle or the Blessed Sacrament in exposition and pray the rosary and let God guide me.
And even if you're not in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I mean, there are rosary apps. You can,
absolutely.
I listen in the car.
I did it sitting in the discount tire lobby yesterday.
There are so many ways.
Nice.
And again, the rosary, when you're praying it, just listen to what you're saying and ponder the words. I think that's the key. It's so easy to rattle off the words of prayers and you have no idea what you're saying, but you're trying to get done with it. Oh, I did my rosary. Focus on what you're saying.
That is such a good point, Allison, because just last night I was praying the rosary and I realized I'm saying the words with my lips, but mentally I'm
not
in Fiji. Like I'm just somewhere totally different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so to have the head and the heart aligned during that time is so critical.
That's the key. And I think as Catholics, it's easy for us to say prayers, but are we like thinking about what we're saying and pondering and really offering that to the Lord and thinking about it and not just rattling, even going to Mass, right? Are we going to Mass just to check off a box to say, oh, we went to Mass, or are we actually participating mm-hmm. and listening and, gosh, and being yeah. active? So that's, mm-hmm. hello,
and
Advent.
It's easy to do. It's easy to get distracted and think about something else, but try
focus.
To stay in the moment.
Focus.
Yeah.
Well, Allison, what you're talking about is very insightful because it kind of goes into this Ignatian spirituality. Do you see God moment by moment?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the key is paying attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. This moment's a gift. That's why it's called the present. And oftentimes I'm not there. I'm, you know,
it's okay,
someplace
Josh.
Else. But yeah, the importance of just paying attention to God in this moment,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's Mass, prayer with your family. Such a gift. So thank you. Good point.
Hey, mm-hmm. my pleasure. And again, Advent, we're on the same walk together. So mm-hmm. let's focus on being present and focusing more this Advent. Mm-hmm. And we have a great show ahead of us. We have a special guest today, Juliette Greco. She is with the Catholic Foundation of North Georgia, and she's going to be talking to us today about Giving Catholic. Father Scott Riley from St. Brendan's over in Cumming is going to be here reflecting on the word with us. Chuck Persner, of course, is going to be talking to us about the saint of the day, St. Francis Xavier. And we also have another amazing set of guests coming in. We have Marcy and we have her sister Melinda. They're going to be talking about their blessed Christmas with the Jesse tree. So we can't wait for that as well.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, again, we are so happy to have Juliette Greco back with us. She has been here before, and what a lovely guest she is. And she's going to be talking about a very special topic that is happening today. So welcome back to The Quest, Juliette.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Oh, we love having you here. You're such a ray of sunshine.
Well, thank you so much.
So what is happening today? What is a special day?
So today is Giving Tuesday, right?
Yes.
So Giving Tuesday, it's the day that follows Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and it's the day that kicks off the charitable season and brings the Catholic community together to give thanks and give back. So I Give Catholic.
Awesome, awesome.
I Give Catholic. That's wonderful. Now, I realize, too, I think this is like they're sectioned out by territories as well. I mean, they do a really good job. I Give Catholic Atlanta. I mean, just for, or I guess maybe diocese.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. There's over 50 dioceses across the country that are participating in I Give Catholic.
Wow.
And so our archdiocese, this is the eighth year
wonderful.
That the Archdiocese of Atlanta have participated in Giving Tuesday.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's interesting, too. Yesterday I was just on there, just kind of scrolling through some of my favorite charities or organizations, some that are partners with the Quest ourselves. And yeah, it's just interesting to see how they've sort of presented their, mm-hmm. you know, charitable cause and like what you're going to be supporting and what kind of dollar amount can actually bless them in a particular way. You know, they might have incentives, things like that. And, you know, how they're doing with Giving Tuesday. It's really interesting. Kind of gives you a flavor for the diocese as well. Mm-hmm.
It's great. There are parishes, schools, nonprofits, ministries that are participating all for very important causes and just to help their ministries throughout the year. But we're excited to see Quest being a part of it.
Yay! Yes.
Likewise.
No, absolutely. And yeah, what are there any other interesting Catholic organizations participating in the I Give Catholic this year?
Absolutely. So again, all the Catholic high schools are participating, St. Pius and BT and Marist, and parishes big and small. It's just great to see, you know, the little organizations maybe down in LaGrange and up north. There's a great organization, the Sarah Club, who is supports
seminarians.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the nuns in the Monastery of the Visitation in Snellville,
wow.
they're participating as well.
Really?
Absolutely. And then you've got our awesome nonprofits like Ignatius House and Purification Heritage Center and Pregnancy Aid Clinic, Catholic Charities, St. Vincent de Paul. It's just wonderful to sit with your family and just look at the organizations that are important to you all and pray about it and give back on this special day.
Well, you know what's so neat too? A lot of the names of the organizations and churches, we at the Quest love reaching out to them and actually helping them talk about what's going on, you know, with PAC. We've done interviews with the PAC folks. We've done interviews with, oh my goodness gracious, Betsy Orr,
who was with Heritage,
you know? Oh, yeah. So I love it. I mean, our community here in Atlanta, how we are a huge community and we have so much to offer. So it's just so nice hearing of these other organizations as well out there and the amazing work they do, as well as parishes.
Absolutely. They're also individual. There's additional funds like the St. Joseph Adoption Support Fund that's participating, the Pope St. Francis Hispanic Scholarship Fund, the Julie Antoine, the Special Needs Fund. So different funds that help really important causes in our Catholic community.
Are these like matching funds, things like that?
There are certain organizations that have some matching gifts, which is super exciting. You really want to help and give to those different organizations so that they can achieve these matching gifts. But these are just, they're different endowment funds that are participating again for awareness, and their funds distribute and help in again the special needs, helping families to adopt, you know, different scholarship funds, and they are all present as well and part of this special day.
No, that is exciting, and I'm so happy that we're on there too. Because Dave, you know, what do we need for?
Well, we've got and we need another studio that's completely functional, and we've got these sound panels on the walls in this studio. We need them in the other studio, and they're not cheap.
No.
So that's what we mainly need.
But the big announcement, Dave's actually agreed to match every dollar for the next $5,000.
Thank you,
for the
Dave.
Next dollar, actually.
So generous of you, Dave. So if you've been looking to get rid of $1, it can be $2.
No, but truly, yeah, we are on a mission to get that second studio set up. And yeah, and the sound panels or boards, those are super duper important for that. So yes, please, we would love for you all to support the Quest.
It's very easy. Just
how can they do that, Juliet?
They can go to igivecatholic.org and go to the Archdiocese of Atlanta and find the Quest and make your donation anywhere from $10, $100, as much as you want. Again, it's easy, it's secure, and it's fun. And you can see the list of all the organizations and who has raised the most money or who has the most donors at this point in time. It'll be just a very exciting day for our Archdiocese throughout the day.
Yeah, create some momentum. Super cool. You can see people who have given as well to your charity. So you realize that you're locked in with a family of people who are united in mission with you.
And you don't have to say your name either. You can say anonymous. So for those that might want to donate.
Yes, absolutely.
And last week we had Janice Givens in here talking about praying for the souls in purgatory.
Yes.
And she was saying how, you know, you can just pray for that one forgotten soul, the one soul that you can do the same thing here. You can go down and see, well, who hasn't gotten anything yet?
Yes.
Let's donate there. Yeah.
And it's all to a great cause. I mean, again, furthering the kingdom, and it's beautiful, the community we have.
Yep, absolutely. And it's, again, what a gift to see so many people advancing the kingdom within one territory in a multitude of different ways, many gifts, many talents.
And if we talked about this yet, the reason we're talking about this today, Giving Tuesday, we'd mentioned that, didn't we? Giving Tuesday, that, you know, because you've got Black Friday, and then there's Small Business Saturday, and I think Sunday is something, and then yesterday is Cyber Monday. And so those are all buying for, you know, like buying things. It's like, here, let's something.
Give
I Give Tuesday.
Let's kick off the charitable giving season.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us again, Juliet.
Thank you.
And sharing this wonderful information. So everybody go to that beautiful website. What is it again? How can they donate?
IGiveCatholic.org. Find the Archdiocese of Atlanta and find your favorite ministry, school, parish, organization, The Quest. Please give generously and enjoy giving back on this very beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Juliet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:18.
Father Scott Riley from St. Brendan's and Coming. Welcome back, Father.
Hey, good morning. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Father.
So, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wishes to reveal to him. I think people could potentially mistake that and say, I don't have any control or discernment in my understanding or revelation of Jesus. What are your thoughts on that, Father?
Well, this is a beautiful text where Jesus is revealing the inner workings of the Trinity.
Mm.
And that everything proceeds from the Father. The Father is the source of everything, and the Father, therefore, loves the words. The Trinitarian theology is the most difficult of theology in the study, because it's, I get it, and we end up, really don't get it. You know, but
it's impossible to fully comprehend on this side of eternity. Is that correct?
And for the rest of eternity, we will be just beginning to understand it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, be it just the perpetual, I think I know, but I'm continuing to discover. So, the Father, Jesus is the Word, and that love, and Jesus loves the Father loves Jesus, and going back and forth, and so simply is the Holy Spirit, that force of love, which is actually a person. And therefore, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. So these kids that he's talking to, these, or even these young, these new apostles, that they don't know anything, but the Holy Spirit is revealing to them truth about God. And therefore, he just lifts himself up in prayer. I thank you, Father. And Jesus as well, I think, is showing us how to actually engage in the prayer of praise. If we find that our life is, sort of having trouble, or we're discouraged, we just feel like a half-filled tire as we're going through life, or even a flat tire, begin prayer of praise, and you will see how the Spirit will just lift you up and express to you what God has in his heart for you, and you can enjoy those things, and as well to realize that because you have faith, I mean, the Father has been drawing you to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draw him or her.
Yep.
And therefore, we're all part of that plan. And I like this last part here, like, blessed are your eyes that see, for many prophets desire to see. And, you know, today we're celebrating St. Francis Xavier. So these people, he was a missionary to India, and they really venerate him as because of the faith. You know, south of India, it's where it's mostly Catholic, or a large population of Catholics. But St. Francis, this Jesuit, one of the founders of the Jesuits, was St. Ignatius, the founder, that desire to just share the knowledge of and the sacraments of Christ Jesus to these people who were worshiping all sorts of gods and deities, and to drive him to what he did. And that's, you could say, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. I can't just keep what I have here. I need to share it. And by sharing, you rejoice. It's, I mean, how powerful it is when people say, well, why are you so happy? That makes me, and some people say, that makes me angry. Why are you so happy? It's not fair. Well, it's not because I put on some happiness or ate some happiness cookies this morning. Rather, it is because I've chosen in whom to place my trust. Mm-hmm. That's why. So happiness is a choice.
Yeah.
It really is. Because the Holy Spirit, therefore, delivers joy. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is never about bait and switch. Like, sometimes we can feel that. But he's not. If we're feeling that, it's because we're not humming on all cylinders.
Yeah. I think about that quote. Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Right.
It's just a reminder that the love and joy we get to experience in Christ is not circumstantial. In fact, when the chips are down or times may be toughest on paper, that's often when we feel his joy and love the most.
You're right, and it requires a decision. So, for example, like I said last week, I just touched on it, was Cardinal Van Tuan Nguyen in that book, Testimony of Hope. So he was arrested when the communists took over in Vietnam. He was sent to prison, thrown in there, and he was so depressed. Wow. And he had a major stomach ache to boot. And this prayer is like, why am I here? This is such a hateful place. I can't love anyone. And then he felt the Blessed Virgin Mary mm-hmm. tell him, that's not true. You have many people here to love.
Wow.
Who can I love? Love your guards.
Mm. Wow.
And then he said, okay, I will love my guards. And so what did he do? Did he just start saying, hey, I'm going to teach you all about Jesus? No.
Wow.
He started off by creating a friendship, asking them questions, and then talking to them about his travels, because these were ignorant soldiers, you know, they didn't see much of life. Talking about how he went to America and other countries, and they were fascinated, and then teaching them Latin.
Wow.
He actually was teaching them Marian hymns. Hymns to the Holy Spirit. So he said every morning the soldiers would come in, and then they, at 7 o'clock in the morning or six, they'd be going up and down the stairs, and they'd be singing the Latin hymn Veni Creator Spiritus.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
And then those guards, they loved him, and then they said, well, we got to switch these guys out, the authorities, because he's converted them. They bring in some new ones, and same thing, he would love them.
Wow.
And then they ended up not switching them out, because that was the Holy Spirit working in him and the power of love. So remember, we got to believe in love, and then let's focus on that. And then God can change society through the love with which, because he's chosen to love through us.
Amen. Wow, Father. I feel like that is a good takeaway. Loving others, even if you're frustrated with them, give them love, show them love.
Right. Beginning with those closest to you, in your family, your siblings, etc.
Thank you so much, Father Scott Rowley, for blessing us once again.
God bless you.
At 8:26, I'm Dave Savage, and from CatholicVote.org, the Wall Street Journal reported that as print book sales stagnate in the U.S., Bible sales are soaring.
I saw that.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jeffrey Trachtenberg wrote that Bible sales are up 22% in the U.S. through the end of October compared with the same period last year. By contrast, total U.S. print book sales were up less than 1%. Jeff Crosby, president of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, said people are experiencing anxiety themselves, or they're worried for their children and grandchildren. It's related to artificial intelligence, election cycles, and all of the that feeds a desire for assurance that we're going to be okay. Trachtenberg wrote that Amber Simiati, a mother and influencer on TikTok and Instagram, attributed the rise in Bible sales to people like herself. She said that after spending years in the world of self-care, health, and career advice, she still felt unfulfilled. She began reading the Bible this year and started sharing stories about Christianity on her social media channels.
Wow.
She said that instability in society also led her to read the Bible. We're kind of holding on to the edge of the ship, like we're not sure what's happening here, she reflected. So I thought that was interesting. And if you want to know more about that, you can check out CatholicVote.org. And from Catholic News Agency, as the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris prepares to reopen on December 7th, U.S. bishops are calling on local American churches to show their solidarity with the church's eldest daughter. 5 years ago, there was a devastating fire that broke out across the timber roof and 315-foot-tall oak spire of the beloved 12th-century French cathedral. Restoration of the structure began with a $760 million reconstruction project. In a social media post, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, USCCB, wrote that as the cathedral reopens its doors, local churches in the U.S. are invited to peel. I had to look that word up, P-E-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
Means to ring. I don't know why they didn't just say ring their bells, but the churches in the U.S. are invited to peal their bells in a gesture of unity. No. That will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on December 7th.
Wow.
Interesting
stuff. Hopefully all the churches are going to, if you hear the church bells ringing at 2 o'clock on the 7th, you'll know why.
Well, you know, Trump's actually going to visit.
Yeah, I heard that. That'll be his first trip, first international trip since the election.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:32.
Chuck Persner always inspires us with a saint of the day. Welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison. It's good to be back. Good morning, Josh.
Great morning with you, Chucky.
Oh, it's always a good day. We're in Advent now.
Mm-hmm.
Love Advent. Great time of year, especially these first 2 weeks of Advent. They've always been some of my favorite time on the liturgical calendar because we still got some time before we have to worry about the crush of the secular issues we deal with at Christmas.
And, yes.
You know, these first 2 weeks we celebrate some of my favorite saints personally, and we've got one of them today, in fact. And, you know, I know you like a quote, Allison. I came across this one from the Baptist preacher, actually, the great Charles Spurgeon, who once said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter.
Oh.
Yeah, so today, on December 3rd, the Catholic Church celebrates a great missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is St. Francis Xavier, born in the year 1506, made it to 1552. In fact, he was such a great missionary that he was recognized as the patron saint of Roman Catholic missionaries.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite
Very nice.
Yeah. And he was born into a noble Spanish family. Interestingly enough, his path would eventually intersect with the man who would go on to become Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Oh,
and while they were they were studying together at the University of Paris. Francis was almost 10 years younger than Ignatius, who had already experienced a major transformation and conversion on the heels of an injury he suffered in battle. Ignatius was a soldier prior to pursuing his priestly vocation, whereas Francis Xavier grew up achieving much of his success as an athlete. Interestingly enough, his track and field was his sport, and the high jump in particular was his specialty.
Interesting.
I did not know that event went back so far.
And that's so neat just to hear an athlete, right? So all those athletes out there, great saint to call on their intercession.
Yeah, him, Saint Sebastian.
Yes.
We've got a number of athletic saints.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, pun intended, he reached new heights with his answer yes to the Lord's call.
And in the classroom, too. He was also known as an outstanding student while he was in the seminary.
Nice. Yeah.
So these men were ordained together, and they would become lifetime friends. And they would co-found the Society of Jesus, which we perhaps better know as the Jesuits. St. Francis Xavier proclaimed the salvific message of Jesus from Portugal to Japan.
Wow.
So he was out there,
tireless. Japan?
From Portugal to Japan. He baptized over 30,000 people along the way.
Wow.
I want to know if he learned to speak Japanese.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I would think he figured out some discernible means of communication, but it is just, it's incredible to think some of these, especially like the Georgia, Florida martyrs, right? They show up on the coast and they just pop in and they're literally, I don't want to say infiltrating, but befriending and becoming one with these tribes and learning their native tongue. And you got to be really sharp to learn that without any Duolingo.
Yeah.
And just trusting. You know, you arrive there and you figure that God will take care of the rest. Somehow, some way, it'll get done, whether you have to learn it, whether you'll be equipped with translators, but it'll get done.
Yes.
As long as you follow the call and the vocation. Great quote by him as well. He says, "I want to be where there are out and out pagans." So he didn't look for the easy assignments.
Look
he would
that.
Go where we were starting from square one and where he would, you know, meet some resistance in a way. And that's just a nod to his evangelical zeal and the fact that, you know, he was just out there in a world that, you know, undoubtedly, you know, we're materially wealthy, especially today, more so than maybe we've ever been. But there's a certain spiritual impoverishment that really bothered him and got to his heart. And that's what he sought to fix and clear up.
Mm. Incredible. Well, like you said, he met Ignatius, St. Ignatius, at the University of Paris. And Ignatius challenged his worldly ambition with these words: "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul?" From Mark 8:36.
Yeah, so, those are haunting words. They're poignant. You know, we have to remember that.
Mm-hmm. You know, amazing that he was one of the first seven members of the Jesuits or Society of Jesus. When he went to India, he began preaching, catechizing, and baptizing. And he also focused on revitalizing the faith of the Portuguese colonists and evangelizing the native population, particularly a group called the Paravas. I hope I'm saying that right. A marginalized fishing community. And, okay, here's the answer to my initial question. He learned Tamil to communicate with the locals effectively.
Wow.
Really? Pretty sharp guy.
Yeah.
Wow. In
shades of a couple of the more recent day North American martyrs, who we talked about back in October.
Yeah.
St. Isaac Jogues, a personal favorite of mine. They were no doubt inspired by this. You know, the Jesuits were those guys first into the fire. Didn't matter what or how difficult the task was. It was about getting out in there and taking on the task at hand.
Well, another couple quotes. This is simple and pretty powerful. Talking about his apostolic zeal. "Give me souls." You know, asking the Lord to give me souls is beautiful. And then a missionary heart he had. A quote from him: "I ask God, our Lord, to help us to know and experience his holy will. And once we have experienced it, give great strength and much grace to fulfill it with charity in this life." So asking for God's holy will and give me charity to fulfill everything you're calling me to do.
That's important. I heard Josh talking about that in a segment a few days ago. It's very important to deliver the message with charity and kindness.
That's key.
It's, you know, that's lacking in some circles today.
Oh, yes.
And it's very important.
It is. It totally is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he baptized, like you said, over 30,000 people during his missionary journeys, inspired countless to join the missionary field through his letter and example. And you know, he dreamed of going to China, but he couldn't gain access to the mainland and died of fever, unfortunately, on December 3rd, 1552, in Shengchun Island off the Chinese coast after tirelessly attempting to get into the country. I mean, this guy wouldn't give up.
Yeah.
Tenacious for the Lord.
Yeah, he really was. He died a relatively young man as well.
Yeah.
But we've heard that story from a couple of the saints we've talked about just in recent days. You know, they had a missionary desire to go one place, but the Lord took them someplace else.
Yeah.
And, you know, they follow the will of the Lord.
Well, that's it.
Trademark, I mean, of every saint.
That was his desire, your holy will.
Yeah.
St. Francis Xavier, he is the patron saint of Catholic missions.
That's right.
Yep, and he was declared a saint by Pope Gregory the 15th in 1622, alongside St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Teresa of Avila, and St. Philip Neri. Now, that's a dream team right
that
there.
That really is. And in fact, when we were talking about St. Teresa of Avila on her feast day, we brought that up. That is an incredible class.
Yeah.
Of saints. And I think it's particularly cool that he went in with Ignatius of Loyola, his friend.
Yeah. So a few quotes of his that are particularly poignant. "Give me the children until they are seven, and anyone may have them afterwards." So pretty confident in his ability to catechize and share God's good news.
Wow.
Yeah, and it speaks to the importance, though, of getting to our children early. What they learn early is what they take with them.
I heard someone in a Bible study say, "You better relish that time you have with your kids, because you only have their ear till about they're 13." Until about,
is that true?
Until they're 13 years old. And then the world starts creeping in.
I feel like the world's already trying to creep in before then.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you're talking about this, you know, with that quote from him, all the catechists out there, right? What a great patron saint to be calling on their intercession.
Yeah.
Since we're working with the kids.
Now, this one may be a challenging quote. "Many, many people hereabouts are not becoming Christian for one reason only. There is nobody to make them Christians."
Ooh. Yeah, that's my favorite of his quotes. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, of course, sought to remedy that all by himself.
Yep. And he was the He's a patron saint of missions, missionaries. Perhaps we can ask him for the courage and wisdom to share God's good news with those we're not as familiar with.
Amen.
St. Francis Xavier.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
I love it. Finding joy in the journey. And that's exactly what we desire to do here. And our next segment here, you know, I have this wonderful little box called Table Topics Happiness, and it's a conversation starter kit. So I've got a question for you all here. And I think, too, it relates to Advent, preparing for the coming of Christ. So question for you all, what do you sometimes take for granted?
I think just about everything now. Yeah. I mean, you think, can you, I was on a flight, and what's the first thing? You know, you get there, and so I asked someone, like, how was the flight, man? He's like, it's terrible. Mm. There's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
No in-flight movie. The only meals they had were vegetarian. All I can think of, could you imagine asking that kind of question to, like, a pioneer from the 1800s?
Oh, my gosh.
The Donner Party.
Yeah. It's like, how was the cross-country trip with your family? Quite successful. Some of us lived. Oh, okay.
Some of us lived, and we had, you know, five kids were born.
Exactly. It was crazy, right? Yeah. I found this out. I mean, you think about ice cream. Like, you can go to Cold Stone Creamery, mm-hmm. and get, like, you know, your chocolate chip Oreo Whopper ice cream folded in with chicken McNuggets. I don't know what you put in there. But I think actually one of the King Louis from France actually had to send servants, like, I don't know, miles up mountains. Like, maybe, I don't know what mountains are in the Alps, maybe, mm-hmm. just to get ice to refrigerate ice cream.
Wow.
Yeah. The journey was long. The path was treacherous. There was no guaranteed survival. That's why the first flavor was Rocky Road. So.
Oh, my gosh. Da-dun-dun.
But it is true. That is because they didn't have frigid refrigeration systems.
And we have a refrigerator where I can adjust the temperature of the water that comes out of the dispenser.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know
you were that bougie, Dave. Yeah. Wow.
Well, it was a scratch and dent. So we got a deal. Got a deal on it, absolutely.
So yeah, so Josh, you're talking about other situations. So in your life, you know, what are some things that you think you sometimes take for granted?
Oh, I think so much. I mean, if even just this morning, I was getting out of my house and into my car, and the first thing, it's 28, and I'm like, I can't believe I've got to deal with this cold for the next 2 minutes until the AC is cranking. You know what I mean? And all I can think of is, I don't think I would survive 100 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I just wouldn't. I would go outside, it would be cold, and I'd be like, I quit. That's it. You know, I don't know. I just don't think I would be adept for survival then. And so, I mean, just kidding aside, I think pretty much every modern luxury we have nowadays, mm-hmm. the fact that I can access scripture or this brilliant exegesis on Google or mm-hmm. ChatGPT, we have Wikipedia or just I can get my favorite papal encyclical off of Amazon.
You can microwave a potato in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, all these things and just what people would do to have those kinds of resources back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And I think we take for granted, I'll just throw out, I think this is a blanket for everybody, mm-hmm. family, health, you know, those are things we take for granted, and just be thankful to God every day that we have those things.
Absolutely.
Amen.
If
we do.
One last thing on that note, if you're with somebody, now not to be morbid, but just think about if you're frustrated at someone you love, think, how would I deal with this person? How would I treat this person in this moment if this was the last time I was going to see them?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. What beautiful way to end, Josh.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:48.
And we are so excited to have two special guests with us today in studio. We have Marcy Nunnery and her sister Melinda here, and they're going to be talking to us about something very special. And I don't know that much about it, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say that. They have created a Jessie tree, and they've had it for a while. So they're going to be talking about Blessed Christmas with the Jessie tree. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a treat this is. So question for you all, you know, what is the Jessie tree and what does it have to do with Christmas?
Everything. Everything is right. We answered that very quickly.
You sure did.
So what it is, Allison, it's a book, banner, and ornament. And the Jessie tree story has been basically from 1086, a long, long time ago.
Yes.
Way before other traditions. And they would put them in stained glass windows. But what we did is we have a book, banner, and ornaments that in 4 weeks, your family will learn more about Jesus and his family and the heritage that we have. And it's fun and it's heartwarming. Mm. And it's a chance to grow in knowledge and help change your life.
Wow.
And I would just add to that today, this morning, before I came, my husband and I were in the Word Among Us, and today's reading, which was just authenticating with the Lord that he wanted us to be here and talk about this, is from Isaiah 11:1, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots
today,
a bud shall blossom. That bud is the birth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so Isaiah and all the many prophets and great men and women in the Old Testament, all of them point to the fact that we needed a Messiah. Mm-hmm. We needed a Savior to restore the wonderful relationship that was broken with Adam and Eve,
yes,
the relationship of God and man. So this was prophecy fulfilled.
I love that. Amen. That is so, so true. So, ladies, how does the Jessie tree align with our Catholic Advent traditions?
We have the Advent calendars. We have the little circle with the candles of the three purple and then the pink. And it's the anticipation for 4 weeks of that little baby in the manger and God's plan. And that quietness and the light each candle brings, and the more light and the more light. And Jesus is the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, add to that, starting with the 28th of November, we have all the days of December to prepare for the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stories that start with Genesis and how God created, and of course there was Christ was and the Holy Spirit and God.
Yes.
Mm. They were three in one.
Yes.
And so we have all the Old Testament stories that point to how deeply broken we were, mm-hmm, and how we needed a Savior. And so every day children can learn the story. Today is the story of Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham being asked to give his only son, mm-hmm, Sarah and Abraham's only son, and how Abraham was obedient in following God's request, but I'm sure he was just heartbroken too. But God provided a sacrifice, the lamb, the ram.
Yes.
And so that is the story that, you know, the components of being trusting in God, being faithful to follow what you don't know the end of the story,
yes,
but God does. And to be forgiving the way God has forgiven us over and again. And faith, obedience, trust, and forgiveness are the threads that with each story. And I think that December the 3rd is actually the saddest and hardest story. And Yet we tried to make the lamb the most fun ornament for the children.
It's
and they
sweet.
Love it. They yes. just yes. love it. But it's also that our symbols, we have tactile, we have visual, auditory learners. Everybody, it all works for everyone. And they can actually see and remember every year. That is the story of Isaac.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. So, ladies,
and the lamb.
So what feedback have you all received over the many years, the 29 plus, which has been a long time, which is amazing, yes. Who have used the Blessed Christmas with the Jesse Tree, you know, in states and countries? What kind of feedback have you gotten from it?
Well, I would say that it's in over probably now 35 states.
Wow.
And 8 countries. And it's only been really word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And people,
although we do have a website now, finally.
We finally know it. Yes, we know it. And Sarah Ellen Brown, actually Jane Brown, I don't know if you all know her. She's a wonderful Catholic woman. Her daughter helped us with the website. And so I would say that there's an example. When you buy a new home, mm-hmm. you're worried and hoping your children will like the new home, their bedroom. And there's a story of a friend of ours that they bought a new home, a different home. And when the children came in to see it, the son said, "Where are we going to put our Jesse tree?"
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. I think they moved in the summer, too.
Yes.
So it was like, wow, they're already thinking ahead. But I have 4 children mm-hmm. and 11 grandchildren. Oh. And now, you know, their spouses and sister has 2 sons and 2 grandchildren.
Daughters.
And all of our children are doing this. So this is this is an heirloom. This is why we created something that can be passed down for generations.
And that generation, let me just interrupt you, sister. So we have now 2nd generations buying the Jesse tree. We have a friend, Charlene, who I said, "Charlene, you have a Jesse tree." She said, "Yes, but I have 3 children. I want each one of them to have one." And then we have one that got one as a wedding present. And 18 years later, she's ordering for her 4 or 5 children. So it is something you want it to keep going. And children are the plumb line in the busiest time, Advent. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that say, "When are we going to do the Jesse tree today?"
Well, where can we learn more on how to purchase your specific, you know, Blessed Christmas with a Jesse Tree Advent devotional?
Sister, do you know the website?
We have the website. It's www.thejessetree.org. And they can look at it. I don't know if I mentioned this, but every day is a reading in the book. There's a book, there's a banner, and there are 29 ornaments. And even if you're traveling over Christmas, you can take the book. And the book does essentially the same thing that also the banner and ornaments. Every day,
it's beautiful,
is an added ornament to the tree. So if you're traveling, you can just take the book with you.
It's funny. Wow. My son had a God wink yesterday. He was looking at schools in Charlotte, mm-hmm. and in it was Covenant Christian School mm-hmm. in Charlotte, and they were doing a Jesse tree.
Oh, wow.
Doing the Jesse tree.
It's really been revived. Amen. I think people are hearing about it, and it's
we have
different than Elf on the Shelf.
Yes. I love it. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming
thank
and blessing
so
us with
much.
This. I cannot wait to go to the website to get one for my family.
Oh, love wow. it.
And what do we have coming up, Allison?
Well, we have wonderful shows coming up. And Dave, tell us really quickly about what you had heard yesterday on Call to Communion.
Well, somebody called in and said she was going to RCIA. She's a Protestant. And they were talking about the rosary and the repetitiveness of it. She said as a Protestant, she felt, you know, that the repetitive prayer like mm-hmm. that was like a bad thing. And he said, "No, you know what? How many Protestants have said the Our Father more than once?"
Mm.
You know, repetitive prayer is fine. So, yeah.
So that's
coming at 2
and
o'clock
today.
That's
a great today. Show. Yeah, definitely. You can call and ask any questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, check it out. And until we see you tomorrow, glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day.